Welcome to this episode of Tales from the Superyacht Laundry. I am here with the glorious, radiant Sophie, who wasn't out last night at all at the Monaco Yacht Show.
No, I'm super fresh. Very professional.
Sophie Barber. Barber.
That's right.
My surname. I wasn't out last night and I'm still double checking myself. We are at the Monaco Yacht Show. Obviously you guys can't see this glorious little rabbit hutch that we are, but it's perfectly situated and it means that I have managed to collar you.
Yes.
For a little bit of a podcast interview.
I'm so happy to be here, thank you.
We've been talking for ages and you're actually one of the people that I wanted to record in person.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, no, because we do podcasts remotely, but I don't know, we have a chat beforehand, so obviously always the interviews go that little bit better when you know each other.
Absolutely, yeah. So We've been chatting for a while.
That's so nice. Obviously we need to get things started. Right, so this is Tales from the Superyacht Laundry. Mm-hmm. We like to collect all of the incredible stories of how you got out of the industry.
Absolutely.
But we need to start at the beginning. How did you get in?
How did I get in?
What was Sophie doing before the yachting industry?
Well, I had done a ski season. Well, I was working in London, actually, for 3 years doing as a PA. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to do something else. I was like, there must be something else more fun. And I wanted to do a ski season, actually, when I was 18. But I had a boyfriend at the time who was lame. Anyway, we went to Australia. He didn't want to do a ski season, so that's fine. Obviously, we broke up afterwards. But
so you were a traveller from very early on.
Yes.
You wanted to go and, no offence to the folks or anything, you were like, yeah. Right, I'm off.
Exactly, yeah. I really wanted to do something else, something different. And so I did a ski season. I worked in an après-ski bar in Mirabelle. It was fantastic. And then my best friend told me that last year, she'd started yachting. Now, she sort of conned me. She said,
I love those
really
best
great.
Friends.
There's loads of fit guys. And right. There's loads of parties. And you just do a tiny bit of cleaning.
A tiny bit of cleaning.
I was like, oh, that sounds like my kind of thing. You know, I could be down for
that. The tiny bit of cleaning
Not the tiny bit of cleaning, all the hot boys and the parties. I'm not really a reformed party girl, but anyway, semi-reformed.
Semi-retired.
I only come out about once every 3 months. And then I die.
Yeah.
No. So I went out there to Palma with my best friend and we went really early and we got on an amazing suntan. We just went to the beach every day. And after about a month, we were like, right, actually, we really need to maybe try and work
on... Did you
on...
stay in the crew houses?
Yes. And it was called, the Crack Den.
No!
It was horrible. It was like in the centre of Palma by the Corner Bar.
Right.
There was a little road up there and it had like 5 floors and it was just, we had our own room, me and Rach, so actually that was, you know, kind of nice. But the rest of it was just like gross. Anyway, it was fun. And eventually we had to suddenly decide to like do some dock walking and actually get out there. We're like, oh, these jobs are not just, you know, falling at my feet.
It's for some reason they don't know why we're here.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, we've got like the most tanned I've ever been in my life. I'm like this gorgeous colour brown. We've met loads of fun people. And eventually I found a job on a sailing yacht. Little one. It was it wasn't that little. It was a 37 metre.
Right.
And all the crew were French and they were old. Like I was 23 and they were, I think, 45, 50... And the captain, I think, was 65. But it was hilarious. They spoke English as well. But we used to, they were so French, like we used to come up with a little hatch at the top and they'd be like smoking fags, having wine, like during the service. And I'd pop by down and do some plates. It was hilarious. But obviously I was a bit envious because I saw all the other boats with all the cool crew. And there's me and my old
French crew. With the fit boys.
Yeah. And I'm like, aww. Like, here's me with my old mates. But anyway, yes, I did the season. And then I...
What was your, like, obviously your first, when you eventually decided to look for work?
Yeah, I know.
What was your first impressions, like, when you got on? Because sailing's obviously different to, like, in my experience. Like, I always feel like I was a lazy yachtie, so I just went on to motorboats. I'm like, I'm not doing that sailing stuff.
Well, absolutely. Well, this actually was a sailing boat, but the owners were really old, and he had Parkinson's, so we didn't put the sails up once.
What?
So literally, it was like a motorboat. Right, it was like this old couple that like we just cruised around basically, and that's did an amazing crossing though, amazing. And it was like my first, I've never really seen any like seas like that, you know, like when it's like smooth. Like, it was absolutely incredible. I remember, like, in between my watches, like, lying, getting sunbathing. I was very into having a tan back in the day.
Really?
Not anymore. Now I want to wipe away the years of tanning. It's too late. So I remember just being on the bow and then just, you know, chilling out, also having a fag, because that was what we did at the time. So.
Are you allowed to actually work for French people and not smoke?
I don't know. I think it's part of the rules, isn't it? But this was, I mean, maybe like 15 years ago or more. Isn't that crazy how the time...
Surely not.
Yeah, I know. I feel like it was like about 5 years ago, but it can't possibly. I've got one boy who's 6 and we've been married for 10 years.
So... Yeah, no, I don't like the maths recently. My sister keeps setting me up and sending me memes about if you watch this as a child.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Do you know what I mean? You must be premenopausal. I'm like, what?
I know, my algorithm seems to be perfectly spot on with all the things that I love. You know, it's like, memes about being a mom, memes about, you know, work issues, you know, all those sort of stuff.
Do you know that so obviously in the UK we have Sky TV, it listens to you.
As well,
like,
as Google?
Yeah, no, so it listens to you, so we get in a lot, like, it's not going to say much about my poor husband, but it keeps saying we need to sort our wills out and, like, speedy cremation. And I'm pretty sure the adverts about 10 a lady are for me. Oh, like, yes. They're like, she must be getting on a bit.
She's in the right age bracket for these.
She's just going to want these nice hold-up pants.
Yeah. We've got them with flowers on now. Like the ones you wear after you have a baby.
Piss yourself.
They make them look nice now. Look at them in black. They've got a floral design.
It's all the time on the TV. Like, it really annoys me. Yes. The algorithms need to stop.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, I can piss myself and be relaxed about it.
Yeah, and look nice in my snazzy nappy pants.
Anyway.
We digress.
So you're on your first sailing boat. So, like, obviously... The first couple of boats, that's when you kind of think sinks in, like, is this for me or not?
Yes.
And you were in the it's for me camp?
I was on the fence.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I really enjoyed certain aspects of it, but I don't really like cleaning. That was a bit of an issue for me, considering pretty much the whole part of the job was cleaning. So I actually preferred it when I moved on to deck. After a couple of seasons on the interior, I then had a season where I was stew deck, and then I was deck end on another vessel, and that I really enjoyed, because I was out there, because I'm quite a sporty person. I used to be a personal trainer. I love to be outdoors. I like to sort of, you know, show the boys I can do it. You know, with fenders, it was a 60 meter and the fender was, you know, as big as me. I was like, I can do it. I've got the lines. And I really loved that sort of, you know, girl power.
And you're closer to the boys, obviously.
Of course, yeah, which was great. And getting a tan.
T-shirt tan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was a problem. I'd always be sneaky trying to, you know, like, roll them up and try to get the shorts up a bit, you know, while I'm polishing the stainless and stuff. I'd be like, cheeky.
Oh, so you moved on to deck.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I
Florida wasn't for you, no?
No, it didn't lose. But, you know, I wasn't a very serious yachtie. I was in it for the fun. You know, I was in it for the money, for the adventure. And, you know, I didn't, might not have necessarily had all the best references, you know.
They
go out quite a lot, you know.
Fun time.
Yeah, but it's like another life. And I, you know, I watch Below Deck quite a lot because I just love the drama. And I miss it. I get sort of like, you know, pangs. I think, oh, I wish I could maybe go back and work on a boat for a bit.
Yeah, you kind of go through that. Yeah. Like, work. I've watched, because we had Daisy on, I did watch a few episodes of Below Deck, and other people have talked about it. I couldn't get over it was stressing me out watching it, though. Because, like, obviously, it's all staged. Like,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
But I don't like watching it all go wrong slowly. It's part of me.
All in play.
I haven't had long enough off the boat, I think, to just watch it and go, oh, that's
when
funny.
Did you leave?
So I left, it's like 7 years ago now.
Oh, yeah.
I know. And it doesn't feel like that long.
Were you in it for a long time?
No, I would have, if I'd found it earlier, so like people like yourself that like found it in their early two, I would have, you know, I would have loved to have found it earlier. I did travel, but not...
But I only found out about it by accident, honestly. Like, I had no idea about it. It really wasn't. Nobody knew about it.
No.
In England, it wasn't a thing.
No,
you know?
it wasn't a thing. And I literally, you know, I found out at a family barbecue, like a friend of my parents said, have you ever thought of yachting? I'm like, what are you talking about?
What is yachting?
And then, yeah, I went, did some research. I'm like, hell yeah.
That's kind of fun. Rich people, why haven't I found that before?
So I was quite old. Actually, spoke to a lovely young lady at Brasscast today because she's 28 and she's like, am I too old? I'm like, no,
definitely not.
But you do, like with everything, you've got to go hard and fast. So like, obviously, but like I said to her, you need your ducks in a row to make sure you get enough money. Like, did you do any of the responsible stuff? You know, did you sort your finances out, pay into a pension?
I didn't know.
Or did you just buy a nice handbag?
Well, to be honest, I didn't even earn that much. Like my first boat, I think I got paid 1,600 euros.
Oosh.
I know. But then
it was like bags or something.
Yeah. And I was like, I was just so happy to have a job. I was like, oh my God, I've got a job. This is amazing. And back then it was low, but it wasn't as, you know, people would be looking at maybe 2,000.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't as bad as it would be now. People are like, oh my God, I never worked for 1,600 euros. But I didn't care. I had a job.
Yeah, but things were cheaper back then.
Yeah, things were cheaper. And you're also not spending any money when you're on board and all that kind of stuff. But no, I didn't save any money at all. And what I did is I went traveling between. I went 6 months in Asia and... which is lovely.
No, you've got to work hard, play hard.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I really wanted to do. I wanted to save up money so then I could go travelling different places.
Right.
So that was sort of my goal. I'd work for a season and I'd be like, right, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go?
Right.
And yeah. And then eventually I just became, well, I was like 27 and I thought, I really want to meet someone and like get married and have kids. And like, I just feel that this is not really going anywhere for me, you know? And so... yeah, I decided to do one more season in the mountains. I was like, I'm going to manage a chalet. I'm going to be like, I'm going to manage it. I'm like a manager. Here we go. I'm managing this, managing that. We're all having a laugh about it. I'm like, it turns out it was an absolute disaster. Because nobody takes it seriously in the ski season. And I'm managing this luxury chalet. And all my staff are rubbish.
Well, no, it's, you know, it's a glorious, you know, it's like being an 1830s rep. If anybody's young, they probably won't know what that is. But basically, back in the day, it was like the first holiday that you got to go on with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
It was these companies that did it. And basically, you're managing the team that manage the people that are going out to get one.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but the only reason they took the job for the summer is to party.
Exactly.
So it's like herding cats.
Oh, and it was awful. And when it was my day off, everything would just crumble. Like, you know, my stewardess, she was just terrible. Bless her, I really liked her. We had such a laugh. But when I left her alone, like, the breakfast would be absolute shambles. And they'd come up to me and be like, well, it wasn't... The guests would come up to me and say, it wasn't very good. You know, she didn't have this. There weren't any forks. You know, it was that kind of level. Do you know what I mean? I was like, oh my God. But I made the mistake of being everyone's friend because I had never managed anyone really properly before.
No.
I didn't really know how to do it. And so I became everyone's friend. Like, look at us, we're having a jolly time with the team.
Yeah.
Let's have a few drinks, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then it turns out nobody respected me at all.
No.
And then I couldn't really claw it back. And then I was just the one that's in the chalet all the time, but like, bloody hell, nothing's been done right. It's my own fault.
It is different, that step up, you know. I think being, obviously being a chief stew, so like being one fun member of the team and then, oh no, actually got responsibility.
Well,
and,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
The captain and then is going to kick my ass because
yeah,
it's
exactly.
not right. I used to forget napkins all the time. If I was particularly tired setting up in the mornings, for some reason my brain just never remembered to put napkins down. Until a guest got up for breakfast, and then I'd be like,
"One time I got the tablecloth and I shook it over the edge, and I lost like three napkins." And we didn't have very many. It was on the sailboat. It was on the first boat. We didn't even have very many. I was like, "Oh my God." And I got so much trouble. She's like, why did you shake it over the side? I was like, I don't know. We had loads of crumbs on it. And then I was struggling all the rest of the season because I didn't have enough napkins. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. We're all perfectionists, not.
No.
So when was it that you kind of thought, oh, maybe this is, you know, it wasn't even on board. You were actually in a chalet when you were like, oh, I want to give up
all of this.
Yeah, well, actually,
partying, traveling.
I met my husband. That was what happened basically in the second week of my ski season. Met my husband. And so after the season, we went back to London because he had a flat in London, which was great. I thought, this is perfect.
I've got nothing
to bring to the party. You've got a flat in Greenwich. I was like, well, that's fantastic. And so we went back to London for a bit. And, you know, to be honest, he just couldn't really... He'd taken 3 years off to basically be a ski bum in Val d'Isère. And nice. So when he came back, there was quite a gap in his CV and he kept finding, you know, jobs that were... not suited to him and, you know, got let go of a few jobs that weren't the right thing and it just wasn't going that well. And I trained to be a personal trainer. So I was doing that like in gyms in London and also in a freelance way as well. So I was really enjoying that. But we just wanted to do something else. And I was like, well, you know what? Why don't we go to France? Because my husband speaks fluent French. So we decided that we were going to go. I said, what about Antibes? Because I've been there a few times on the boats. It's really fun. Nice. Yeah, and I hadn't been there that much because I was mostly Palma-based, but I've been there, you know, for a few months or whatever. And so we went to go and have a little look, and he was like, I love it. And I was like, great. Then we found an apartment, and we just thought, we're just going to go and see what happens. And he was starting to become a translator, but freelance, but he hadn't done it before, so he was sort of blagging his way through it. And the beginning was quite sketchy, and I was working in a French bar in Antibes, a Café Brum, with with all the Frenchies, and that was quite funny. So we sort of muddled it over.
Does that still exist?
It does, but they've got a new owner. Which I really, you know, I really enjoyed it, but it was a bit of a transient thing. We were in Antibes, but it was great. And then I'd always thought about doing recruitment. I'd always quite fancied it ever since I was in Palma.
Really? You must be so rare. Like, I don't know who fancies doing recruitment.
I don't see why more people don't fancy it. All you have to do is you chat to people all day long. Like, I think
you don't recruitments to get, like, you're like, oh, just chat to people. No, you're supposed to find them a job.
It depends who you're working for, really. I'm working for the client, really. Sure. But I'm also working for the candidate. So it's, but I really enjoy to build those relationships and I enjoy to find people their perfect role.
Yeah.
And I enjoy to, you know, talk to the owners as well and see what they're about. And it's just, I think if you like speaking to people, it's a great job. But I remember when I first started yachting, going in, I think it was like crew and concierge, I think, in Palma. And blue water and be like, oh, I kind of fancy doing that later. But then I sort of put it behind me for a bit and I just sort of forgot about it. And then when I came back to Antibes, I found a job working at blue water on the reception. Ah. That's how it all started. And I sort of wanted to be a recruiter, but I was like, oh, I'll be a receptionist, that's fine. And then I had a baby and then there wasn't any space for me to come back. So I went to Hill Robinson.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which was great. And so, but yeah, I really like recruitment. It's, it just suits me really.
What do you think, what's different now from when you started?
In terms of recruitment?
Because obviously dot walking, I mean, I was a snob, I never dot walked.
You never dot walked?
No, I was too old, I was 28, and they were like, oh, you're just going to have to put this schoolgirl skirt on.
Yeah,
put a polo on, go get a job. I'm like, what? No, no.
How did you get a job then?
I just went through a recruitment agent.
Yeah.
So I didn't. I basically went or emailed them in the morning saying hi, and then I'd go to the toilet bowl beach.
Of course, yeah.
And then stay there and look for work.
Yeah, on my phone.
Exactly. While laying down. That's possibly a bottle of rosé. I don't know.
Well, exactly. You know, the usual.
But I was just like, because obviously the girls, you know, that were out going out every morning, they're getting the train to Imperial or something. And I'm like,
No, not for me.
Because I had in my head, I had tons of hospitality experience.
Yeah,
like I had so many
relatable skills.
Yeah, no, like
I see a million of you coming.
I'm just like, I've got so much experience. So you just need that one opportunity, you know, that trial shift.
Yeah, to show them what I'm made of. Exactly. I've got this,
and I got my trial shift.
There we go.
So you know, and then that was it. Actually, somebody got hired before me. They went for the younger option when we were both interviewed.
Yeah.
They regretted it and got rid of her after like a week and a half. And like, then they called me like, actually, you're old, but you'll do.
And isn't it funny how 28 is old in yachting? It's absolutely mad, isn't it? But also what's really mad is the people the CVs are coming through now, 2006 they were born. Can you even believe that?
It's devastating.
That's this awful.
There's nothing wrong with you. If you're listening to this podcast and you were born in 2006.
I'm just very jealous, to be honest. Horrendously jealous. In fact, no, I don't want to be 18. I want to be about 26, 27. I'm going to stay there.
24 was a good...
Was a good year for you?
Good year for me. Yeah. 24 to 34 was really good. No, actually, my whole life up until this day.
But surely you're only 33 now. How can you possibly...
thinking about freedom and travel and stuff like that, they were my years to...
Yeah.
You know, a bit like yourself, you know, you just had that freedom to go do what you wanted to do.
But I do feel now that I'm now in my 30s, I would say early 30s. I'm staying at 33, by the way, for the next 5 years.
Oh, okay.
And then I'll have to up it a little bit to make it more realistic. But I'm 33. Anyway, don't you find that now, having been in your 30s onwards, that you know yourself so much better? And I feel the self-confidence that comes from that I didn't have in my 20s.
Well, not to get too scientific, I'd love to do the science about it's all to do with estrogen levels.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I have no idea about this.
So, basically, as you get older, there's less estrogen, and the estrogen makes you agreeable. So, which can also, I think, although I haven't actually spoken to a psychologist about it, makes you a little bit nervous because you are agreeable all the time.
Yeah.
The reason why maybe older students struggle on boats is because we can't be asked anymore. Like,
I get give less.
It's less to give, but we won't put up with it.
Yeah.
You know your mind, and I think older stews maybe sometimes might not be as attractive because if you are on a boat that's a bit wayward,
your captain
doesn't want pushback.
No, and they want amenable people who would do so.
Exactly.
Yeah, who are a bit younger, less experienced. They think, oh, this seems a bit weird, but I'm going to do it anyway.
But you obviously get somebody like me and go, I'll be like...
Some older sasspots like ourselves.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, I'm not doing... Yeah, exactly. That's not working for me.
How is that not fair?
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that before, but actually I think you're so right.
No.
Yeah. It's not just because they like them to look younger. It's actually perhaps also the personality-wise and...
The power dynamic on board is very, very important. Mm. And also it's very tilted towards the male side. Now, you know, we've talked about this in other episodes, especially in moments where there's a crisis on board. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got a 26-year-old chief stew and you've got a 55-year-old captain. Now, even the most confident 26-year-old will struggle probably to call out a 55-year-old captain if they're not being... you know, acting or even conducting themselves the way that you would. And women, you know, when they work in the industry, it's always not in our favour.
No, I know what you mean. And also because of that, there's a sort of hierarchy on the boats as well that needs to be respected. So there's all the extra, you know, the captain is this, you know. So it's difficult to approach him about something that they've...
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be that way because I think, you know, yourself, like you said, you wanted to start a family and you didn't want to be too... So it's a young girl's game,
in a way.
And not because, well, I think, you know, it's tiring. You're not going to want to do it in your 40s. I'm 40.
No. I hear you. No, I do not want to go back and clean up other people's bathrooms.
Imagine how much my feet would hurt. Like, they hurt back in the day. By this point, I'd be literally paralysed.
Well, exactly. And also, my hips have hurt quite a lot sometimes, and I've got a bit of a dodgy knee.
So, you're in France, you're living, you know, how's it going? Like, you know, you're enjoying your life here, you've got fabulous kids. Is France going to be you forever?
Absolutely. I love the south of France because it's number one, the weather. And also, because I've been here now, 8 years or so, I made a really lovely bunch of... lovely bunch of friends and a really nice little community. And, you know, it's such a nice place to bring up your kids.
Yeah.
And what I like is, you know, I live actually in the mountains. It's like Chateau Neuf. It's sort of not really in the mountains. It's about 40 minutes from Antibes. We just bought a house. So just doing all of that stuff. But what's really nice about it is... it's in the countryside, so it's like I live in a house that's like got a forest around it, and it's just really lovely. But then I still get to come and work in Antibes, where it sort of feels like home, because, you know, I've been there for such a long time, and so it's got all the vibiness of Antibes, but I get the forest at home.
Yeah. Perfect. So let's talk a little bit about Blue Water. So anybody who's trying to find a job right now,
yes,
they're going to know who you guys are.
Absolutely.
I mean, you've been going ages. Like, obviously, it existed when I was, and that, obviously, that was a long time ago.
Well, exactly. And the thing about Blue Water, it has been, I don't know how many years. It's a long time. And because we do the training and the crew, what that means is we get a lot of people, they might not necessarily have known us before, but they might have done an SCCW course with us,
yeah.
or the basic safety training course, and then they're introduced to Blue Water. So we do a lot with the junior crew, and obviously senior crew as well. But us at Blue Water, we do all five options, which is management, charter, crew, training, and sales. Yeah, so we do everything. And we've got two offices, one in Palmer and one in Antibes. I work in the Antibes office, and I look after, recently, the deck team, which is quite exciting for me.
Good.
Yeah, we decided to specialise down. We used to do share the positions out, which was nice as well, because then you get to work with different candidates, different clients, etc. But now we're specialising into departments, which is also great. So if you've got any aspiring deckies, you can reach out to me.
Have you seen an uptake in girls wanting to work on deck?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've actually really trying to advocate for females on deck. Having worked on deck myself, I love to see girls on deck climbing the ranks. I met a fantastic captain yesterday. If only I can remember what her name was. Anyway, she's a captain on a 50-metre. She's been the captain on that boat, I think, for 10 years. She joined the industry at the age of 22, I think, and she's now 50-something.
Wow.
So, yeah, really inspirational. So I'm actually trying to reach out to other strong females and people, not necessarily a captain, but people who are moving up the ranks. Mm-hmm. I want to sort of feature their stories and, you know, get a bit of a buzz around that. I know I'm not the first person to do it, but I think it's interesting to see, to inspire other females that are wanting to get on the deck. See, you can do it.
You
know, we are as good as the men. We can do it. And there's a lot more acceptance of that now. Certainly, when I was in getting into yachting, there was much less females on deck.
Yeah, no. I'd be really frank. I don't get it. You know, I didn't want to be out in the sun like that. I definitely didn't want to use a chamois. And when I had a fender, like you said, most fenders were my size. So like hauling them over the side, like I'll come out, I'll do fenders.
Yeah,
that's it. Just leave me alone. I'm going back inside.
I was quite the opposite. When I was inside, I always wanted to be outside. I liked it because I love to do washdown. It's like one of my favourite things.
What?
Yeah, because I also feel like it's like a bit of a workout, and I'm like a bit of a fitness person. Like, I just love it. So I'd be doing my washdown, you know, I just really enjoyed it. Being outside and getting it all perfect. Like, just, yeah.
I do the perfect thing on the inside.
Yes, exactly.
On the inside, so I'm not as sweaty.
Yeah.
That's also not like, sweltering heat. I remember one time I can't even remember what it's called now. The resurface, the teak.
Oh yeah.
And I had to go outside, and I didn't have any shoes on, and it was like literally exfoliated my feet.
Oh, when they were doing the teak part.
They're like, you really shouldn't be out here with no shoes on. But they did make my feet really smooth.
Which reminds me, one time it was winter, and we were, I think, or maybe it wasn't winter, it was like March in Genoa, and I was doing the two part of the deck, but we were getting to every corner. This is on the 50-meter, and we had like this guy, there was an Italian, basically all Italians on deck, and there was one guy we called the Fat Controller, not obviously to his face. He'd been there with a big machine, like, and there we are in the corner scrubbing, and I remember getting like acid like down my, because I have my wellies on, and we're getting like acid down here, and we're like, it's stinging my legs, and they were like, get in that corner, and I was like, it was horrible. It was like raining, and it was like with the acid. That was not fun.
It's not fun, but yeah, there is an upside to going out if they're doing two part. There could be like a little quick exfoliation.
Yeah, who knew? I could do with a little bit of that myself right now.
Actually. Oh. There you go. I don't recommend that for health and safety reasons. But don't.
There hasn't been any scientific research
on this, but it worked out all right for me.
That's so funny.
So Blue Water, you know, obviously have expanded. They're a bit of a beast in the industry.
I think everybody knows Blue Water. I hope that we're known as a friendly company, welcoming. I think people do generally feel that. I know we make a lot of effort with people coming into the industry to help them on their way. because it's difficult when you start, because you know, a lot of agencies just, you know, no thanks. Yeah, you know.
Do you still do that thing where people used to queue out to register? Like, yeah, they queue down the street.
Well, but people don't do that anymore. Like, that doesn't, that I remember that was definitely a thing, and that was a thing even when I first started Blue Water and Reception before COVID.
And then it's all stopped.
And now I think because everyone got so used to being online, people don't necessarily come in as much. Aww. Especially the experience crew. They don't really come and see us anymore. They call us, we have interviews and whatever, but I think we used to see more come in the door. But now it's since COVID everyone's I don't need to come in person, I will just do it online.
Just sit in the blue lady and then call you.
Yeah, exactly. But I love to meet someone face to face because you can't tell the same about someone on the phone.
No.
You can't get the same rapport, you can't really sort of get into it. And obviously you've got to see what they look like as well, if they presented themselves well or
what do they smell?
Yeah, and sometimes people do smell.
They do.
Yeah.
That's a big no-no for anybody wanting to get in the industry.
Yeah, and sometimes you get sort of, you know, captains come in, they smell like booze and booze and fags, and I'm like, oh, God, why have you just come in after lunch? Like, just come in another day. So they swing by and think, oh, let's pop in here.
Yeah, I mean, I've known about them for eons. What are your three bits of advice to somebody who's maybe just in a ski season? Oh, I might duck on into the yachting for a bit. What would you... Sophie before, you know...
Young Sophie.
What would you tell her now, if you could?
I'll have to take it a bit more seriously.
Stop having so much fun.
Yeah, but I've always managed to sort of wing things. Things just sort of seem to happen. So my mum sort of calls it flying by the seat of your pants. And I do seem to sort of just end up in things. And mum's like, how did you do that? I'm like, I don't know. So, yeah, but anyway, words of advice. So you've got to meet as many people as possible. The more you're out there, the more interactions you're going to make. Because that, if you're looking for your first job, that is how you're going to find it. You're not really going to find it from an agency. You might, but you're more likely to find it when you meet someone, when you have a chat with someone, you know, it could be in the bar, could be on the dock, could be, you know, anywhere. You could meet a connection, and then, you know, they don't know, might need some crew.
Yeah.
So that's, I always say that if you're not out there every day, what are you doing? If you're looking for a job and you're not actually out there, what else have you got to do? You know what I mean? I'm like, you should be trying, if you're not feeling like a, you know, on your top form or whatever, but you know, you need to be out there, dock walking, meeting,
things like Monaco and stuff like that. It is good to at least come mooch about. There's loads of free drinks for crew.
I mean, the Monaco show is great.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely worth a visit. I mean, we're going to obviously finish this and then go out there.
Yeah. Out into the fray. It's raining
into
as well.
The rain. It hasn't quite got the same allure, has it, when it's,
no,
it's raining?
No, it's not. You know, my nice strappy sandals are going to stay here.
Absolutely. But however, normally the show is absolutely roasting and it's too hot. So actually it's quite nice to actually have a bit more.
We're never satisfied, basically.
No, it's too hot, too cold. That's because we're British, aren't we? It's too hot. We want the sun, but then it's too hot.
So get in amongst it. Any other final?
I think you should get like a little, get a little tagline, like an opener. So when you, for example, if you're going to dock walk, you know, to say, hey, have you got any work? Think about something that, you know, a little two-sentence thing about your experience that opens up. Because if you're telling them something about yourself, they're going to have to reply something. They can't say, no, I haven't got any jobs. It sort of gives you like an opener, you know. Oh, I've got, you know, 5 years of hospitality experience. You know, I've done this, this and that. I'm super keen. You know, have you got anything for me? And if you work on that little opener, then it gives you something to talk about. Because they always talk about getting that rapport, trying to get a bit of a chat on the dock. And that can be really quite tough.
Yeah.
And I would think about getting a little snazzy tagline. I always recommend that.
Snazzy tagline. You know, strap line, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And you can use it when you send your CVs across as well to jobs you see on social media and things like that. You can have that little snippet about yourself, a little short sales pitch, really.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Find me at the beach probably would have been mine.
I've run out of money now, I really need a job.
Yeah, so something along those lines, maybe.
Do you think that might work?
Yeah. It's been lovely speaking to you.
It's been really nice.
We'll definitely have you on again, if you'd like to.
Yeah, sure, if anyone would like
Do
to
you
listen
like
to me,
crash,
waffle on about.
Crash Guide into Being a Deckie for Women.
Yeah, what Not to Do by Sophie Barber.
Because we've got a number of deck ladies, obviously, are involved with your Pearls of Wisdom.
Exactly.
We we obviously had Georgie on board, who did mm-hmm. like the full Academy Wars Ash training.
Yeah. I've worked with her in the past, actually, on a few.
She's
few
fabulous as yeah. well. So there are some, as far as I'm concerned, crackers people that want to go outside and chammy. Thought it was a boy job.
Well, if you want to clean the poo off the loo, you do that.
Well, yes. Yeah, there's always so many glamorous bits.
I know, it's so much less glamorous than I was sold.
Yeah,
I thought it was going to be, you know, living my high life on the yard, but now I'm cleaning.
It is. I mean, when you talk to people, is it like Below Deck? I'd like to think my career wasn't as chaotic.
Sort of like Below Deck, but also not.
But then when you think about some of the stories, you're like, there was a camera crew there, it probably would have been quite entertaining.
Well, exactly. You do see a lot of interesting people.
Interesting activity.
All the ladies of the night.
Just to finish up, we try and obviously with every individual, do you have a mental crazy story from your time on yachts that you're out of NDA and you can actually say?
Oh gosh, I'm just going to tarnish my reputation now completely. Yes, I did leave one yacht in the middle of the night with my suitcase. And
what?
I didn't say anything. I crept out and I was like, now with this. Off I went. So... to put the story, was I deck, she deck? Anyway, I wanted to leave. It was near the end of the season and it was my birthday in a few days' time. And my boyfriend at the time was going to meet me in Genoa. So I decided that I'd had enough of this. And I think
so on payday, you decided to pack your bag and leave in the middle of the night?
No, I asked him if I could leave and he said, yes, you can. And then they said, no, you can't. The guest might come back. No, you can't leave. And I was like, I already got it all in my head. I planned it all. So I just left in the middle of the night. I just packed my bag and I just left in the middle of the night. Well, it wasn't technically in the middle of the night. It was like 5 a.m. I was like, with my suitcase. Can you imagine what they must have thought when they woke up? I didn't hear from them.
Did you get paid?
I think I'd already been paid. Yeah.
Don't, I can't remember. Right, so anybody listening, okay.
I wouldn't advise that. I
mean, if you're going to do that.
Don't do that. It's awful form. Can you imagine if I got a reference from that boat and then she left in the middle of the night? You'd be like, oh, I'm not employing her. But actually, I think it was my last boat.
Was it?
Yeah.
What, last ever?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think it was the last boat. I struggle to remember which boat it was, but I think it was the last one. I think that was it.
You just ducked out.
Yeah, I left in a storm. Yeah. See you, bye.
Bye.
But looking back at that was awful, though. The poor team, they must have been really short. Down a team member, just left in the middle of the night. I mean, who does that? Who does that?
But now she's a recruitment.
Yeah, exactly. Look at me now. Do as I do. But now I can spot the ones like me and I think I'm not hiring her.
yeah. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes it might be worthwhile leaving in the middle of the night. But don't do it unless you've had payday.
Yeah.
There's no way that
you're not going to get your money yet. Exactly.
And you do it before. So, FYI. You can do it, but yeah.
Don't do it. It's not nice for your crew members. It's not it's not great for your reputation.
No.
I'm glad I told everyone about that now as well.
The captain probably wouldn't forgive you, but like the rest of the crew probably wouldn't care.
Yeah, no, I did a joke about it with the other deckhands afterwards. Like, I can't believe you did that. I'm like, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
That's it for me, I'm out.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it. Obviously, we will try to get you guys on again.
I can embarrass myself some more.
What not to do as a deckhand.
Yeah, gonna add some more shame to my reputation.
Why not?
Fantastic.
Why not? If you've been listening to this podcast, it's Tales from the Super Yacht Laundry. Please check out our other episodes if you've listened to this one. If we've touched on any subjects that you're a bit concerned about, obviously maybe employment issues.
Yeah.
On the YPOW app, we've got loads of advice from Nautilus and things, you know, and basically grown-up people telling you what not to do.
Exactly, from our own experience.
So we can put you in contact with people if you are struggling to be paid because you snuck out.
Because you snuck out in the middle of the night.
Thank you for joining us on this episode.
Thank you.
And we'll see you again soon.
Thank you, bye.